Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am joined with the beautiful and talented Sherry Pang. Hello, Sherry.
Hey, how you doing, Jason?
Oh, I'm tired. How are you?
Very good. I'm just got a lot of things I just got done doing, and got my workout today, got a reading done. Yeah, just got my 55-gallon aquarium tank changed. Just a lot of stuff I'm preparing for the week. So, yeah, everything's all good. And I did a little bit of photography, so that I don't know if you've seen on my Facebook page, but I do a little bit of photography on the side. It's just a hobby, but I love taking macro photography. So, yeah, so I got a lot going.
You've been busy. I've just been doing the usual work thing, trying to not catch the coronavirus that everybody's freaking out about.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I was at the gym today, and I took yesterday off because, you know, I was just trying to just work out, you know, a certain amount of days and blah, blah, blah. And I was telling the gym owners, like, I think I'm going to just start going into the gym where there's less amount of people. Especially people don't clean up after themselves, after they wipe up, you know, use their machines or, you know, the benches and everything. So I'm just planning on just kind of moving around as far as my workout goes towards when there's less amount of people to deal with.
Well, we are in a full-fledged panic. I see that the state of Washington has just issued a state of emergency and people are freaking out as they always do. By getting all these N95 masks and lines out the stores, the world is ending, the sky is falling, coronavirus is going to be the end of us all, apparently.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, our guest, our special guest tonight is a returning guest. She's nothing, she is nothing, I didn't mean that. She is absolutely an amazing colleague, person that I can consider a friend. She is just, she knows her stuff, and also she is an RN. So on Taboo, I'm going to ask her a couple of questions, but she is a psychic medium, and also she's born with the gift as a demon seer. She's also an animal communicator and also an international author and healer. She's a multi-talented woman. Just amazing. I have nothing but good things. She's, you know, just strong, and she knows her stuff. And I'm really glad for her to come back tonight and be our guest. And we're going to just kind of ramble on and see what's going across the board here tonight.
Well, let's get rambling.
All
hey,
right.
June, welcome back to the show. Hey.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's
hey,
always
welcome.
Good to be with you.
Thank you for spending the time for the next hour and 15 minutes to reach across all the people in iHeartRadio and Spotify and Blog Talk and yada, yada, yada. But how you been, June? What have you been up to with all this stuff going on in this world?
Oh, you know, it's kind of like being in the medical field, people kind of, you know, panic about it, and you have like new mandates that come down that you need to have this kind of mask and that kind of mask, and these are the protocols and so on and so forth. But, you know, if you stop and think about it and you look at the stats, more people die from the flu than have died from this. So I'm not really overly concerned about it. It seems to affect more the very young and the very old.
Wow.
It just kills me how everybody's panicking about this. It's just out of control. The media gets everybody riled up, and like infinitely more people are getting sick and dying of the flu than the coronavirus. And there's like 60 cases confirmed in the United States, and you got lines outside of Walgreens, people getting in a mask panic.
Oh, I know. And a lot of them, you know, being in the medical field, we've been told, was a week ago, we got notice that, oh, you know, that the most of the masks are made in China and you guys can't have any of them. So it's like, if you don't have them, sucks to be you. And we're in the medical profession and we can't get any.
Oh, my gosh. Are they limiting? Are they vaccinating you guys?
Well, they're just not, you know, they're just saying, you know, you need to have this particular brand, which is kind of like a respirator, the ones you use for, like, paint and things like that. Yeah. And whereas what we have in the clinics are, you know, just your flimsy masks, you know, the simple ones that everybody wears, you know, it's just... But I'm not really concerned about it for myself. I've been in medicine a long time, and my immune system is really good. I usually don't get sick. But, you know, there are people out there whose immune system are compromised, and they're the ones who should get take precedence and have, you know, the masks and take those precautions.
So, June, I didn't get the N95s. I went on Amazon the other day. And it's funny, they're really selling, like, they're really hijacking the price. And you, like, what, you know,
$200.
They're trying to capitalize on the shortage of the N95. So I end up ordering the three-layer mask, like a hospital mask, the triple. I don't know. I just kind of like, okay, well, it's, you know, even if I don't have it, it's handy to have just in case I need to have it. Is that right?
Right. It's like, you know, plus they want it to have to be the one with the face shield as well. Because it spreads through the droplets, you know. So they're recommending for healthcare people to have the one with the face shield as well, so.
That's aerosol, then. It's all in the air, too. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty bad. Well, yeah, people are in a panic, and I was talking to a girlfriend yesterday in Hawaii. We were FaceTiming each other. She said, you should be in Honolulu. Everybody's freaking out in Honolulu, and the Costco, the lines are just, she said, they're probably a half a block long. She said,
I believe it. I talked to a friend of mine who lives in Chicago, and he was saying much the same thing.
Oh, my gosh. People are just panicking.
Yeah, they are.
So, lucky for me, I got plenty
of... You know, with the one in over there in Hillsboro, that's not very far between you and I. And, you know, I mean, it's like they don't even know how many people she's come in contact before she even came with the symptoms, right?
Yeah, a lot of them that are testing positive are symptom free, so it doesn't run true to form to say, well, if you have these symptoms, you know, you're a carrier, because like I said, a lot of people they're finding don't have the symptoms but are testing positive.
So do you find that being away from social environments is a way to avoid that kind of environment to be exposed?
Yeah, if you can, you know, like stay away from, you know, shopping centers and things like that where there's multiple, you know, there's people all over the place, they're hacking, you know, coughing, sneezing. It's, you know, you're better off to stay away from places like that, especially if you're immune compromised or if you're older. Or, you know, I guess one of the people was a teacher. here in Oregon. So it's like, you know, what are you going to do? You're a teacher and you have all those children. So all those children are exposed.
Wow.
And then they in turn, it's a domino effect. They in turn take it home. And then they, the, you know, the family in turn goes to work. There you go.
I still don't think it's a big
deal. You can imagine. Yeah, the person is a teacher at the Forest Hills School. It's a private school, but the person that lives in Washington County, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I test these viruses every day, literally, so I'm not in a panic mode over it. I think flu is much more of a problem than corona. Coronavirus in general is common. I see it all the time. All these viruses.
Yeah, really.
You know.
Yeah, in my you know, personal opinion, you know, much more people die from influenza than this coronavirus. So
that's
it's just
good.
You know, I don't ever panic over that stuff. I've been in medicine for 45 years. It's like, you know, lived through a lot of those things. Never got any of them.
So do you think
we're
you
all
we going to
be
in
okay?
Fourth quarantine.
Yeah, I think people will be okay. And you know, there's no need for people to panic and stuff. Although the media would like you to.
I remember when I was in New York years ago, it was one of the really bad flus. I don't remember which one it was, and it was like really heavy in New York, and I was on airplanes, and I thought for sure I was a dead man. And guess what? Nothing happened.
Yeah. It's all that recycled air on the airplanes, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and introduce yourself really quick, and we'll get into talking about what the work you do for helping other people.
I'm a nurse full time. I still work full time. I have one book that's going to be out as soon as it gets through the editing phase. It went to the editor last week, so that could take a couple of weeks, and then revisions. So it'll be out before June because I'm leaving for June for England. But I'm a psychic medium, international author. I do animal communication, and I also am what is called a demon seer. I remove demons and all kinds of negative entities. Been doing that for, over 40 years.
So, June, we were going to cover a little bit about hexes, vexes, and curses. How can you tell?
Oh, yeah.
How can you tell when a person is cursed? You can tell because you've been at it, but can a layman get an idea if they've been cursed or anything, or what's the difference between hexes and vexes?
Well, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, if you're cursed, you know, that's it. You have to find somebody to lift the curse, or, you know, they think they've been hexed or whatever. But it's not the way that we think of it. You know, we think of, some old woman, old hag put a curse on my family and it's forever going to ruin my family and blah, blah, blah. But it's really not that way. What it usually happens, what usually starts it, is usually a person, you know, people get into a fight. Back in the old days, they used to say, I'm going to curse your family. And all it is a negative entity that has been summoned. There's two kinds. There's a negative entity that is summoned and is attached to an individual. And when that individual dies, then it basically rolls itself over to another family member, and so on and down the generations until it's removed. Or you have someone who dies and basically is haunting you, and when you die, it moves on to the next person and the next person. So those are really what I would call a curse. But like I said, it's not in the scary type horror film type of presentation.
That doesn't sound like that's and very fair. If somebody generations away could be, I mean, that's not fair.
Right. I know, it's not. It's just like, are you kidding me? You know, I've had to deal with a few of them. And in one instance, it was done by a bruja, and just, you know, a Hispanic witch. And then in another case, it was a shaman that did it to the person. And, of course, it was a shaman that does the negative things. And it's just a matter of, you know, finding out, A, what it is, who put it on the family, and if it's a recent thing, you know, it's like if the shaman is still alive or the bruja is still alive, then it's a matter of taking the entity and sending it back where it belongs, preferably to the one who summoned it. It's like, I have no sympathy, because if you summon it to cause people and their family harm, then you need to get it back at you. And I've done that a couple of times, because it's like, you know what? You're going to screw with this. You're going to feel what it's like to have this thing attached to you. See how you like that one. You know, people don't like it when it's done to them, that they're sure enough willing to do it to other people who they think have wronged them, or who somebody paid me to do it, so I'm going to summon one and attach it to the person.
Wow.
Can anybody summon these curses? Can I, like, go get a book on how to curse somebody and do it?
A lot of it is about intention, and you have to be a practitioner of the dark arts. So you have to know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, it'll backfire and attach itself to you. You know, which is, from my point of view, as it should be. if you're doing something like that with the intent to cause harm to another person, then you know what? Payback. I have no sympathy.
So you have to have some sort of skill and knowledge and adeptness at it, unless you want it to come back and bite you in the hiney.
Yeah, that's about it. You have to know what you're doing. Or you hire, in one case, it was somebody hired this bruja to do it. So, you know, they're thinking, okay, you pay me big money, I'm going to do it, it's done. Oh, well, that's the end of it for him. But when you can follow the trail of where it comes from. What you do is you connect with the individual that has the attachment, and then you move from him to the other person that attached it to, that went to the bruja to attach it to you. It's like following breadcrumbs. But once you find the person that did the attachment, you know, then it's quite easy to, well, for me anyway, to pull the demon off of the individual that's attached to and put it back where it belongs, on the bruja. I don't have any issue with that. You know, you're going to do it to somebody else. This is what it feels like.
Is this different from possession, like demonic possession?
Yeah, these are kind of sent to make your life miserable. They, you know, cause problems. You know, one of the guys that this happened to, he's like, his garage roof fell in on his new car. I mean, his lock broke on his business. He couldn't get into it, had to pay good money to have somebody come out and redo the entire business office locks. It was one thing after another, losing a client, you know, having things go wrong with the client's order and things like that. It's like, it was one thing after another. It's more of a pain in the rear than anything, But, you know, when it's happening to you, it seems like it's horrendous and you can't do anything to stop it. It's like a rolling stone. It just keeps snowballing.
So how do you tell the difference between just bad luck? Because surely people just can have negative things that happen consecutively and it not be some sort of attachment versus some sort of outside
right.
influence creating these things. How,
right.
how do you discern the difference?
If it's just bad luck, usually bad luck is limiting. You know, it happens to you for a few weeks, few months. It doesn't go on for years or, you know, and it doesn't cause your health to decline. It doesn't cause your finances to go in the toilet. You know, it doesn't cause you to be separated from your support system. You know, it's like everybody shrinking away from you and you're by yourself, left basically with no support. You know, and if it's just bad luck, it's like, you know, things happen sporadically. It's not any one set pattern or anything. So that's the difference. You know, once in a while, something, you know, you have a bad day where it seems like everything goes wrong. You know, that's just having a bad day. That's just, you know, bad luck. But, you know, the other is not, it doesn't go away. It just continues and gets bigger and bigger.
Can these curses kill?
Ooh, yeah, no,
that's the funny thing about curses. They don't kill you. They're just meant to make your life miserable. They
Killing
don't kill you. They're just meant to make your life miserable. That would be too nice for it to kill you. See, it'd put you out of your misery, and that's not what they want. They want you to, you know, linger on and be miserable, and you know, this goes on for years, and just that's the way it is.
I'm sorry, Sherry. You were going to ask something.
Oh, now I forgot. Okay. had a senior moment here. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Wow.
Yeah, it's just people, you know, saying I'm cursed or whatever. And usually you can find the root of the matter by, you know, if a person sends me a picture or I talk to them on the phone or in person, I can tell what it is. And usually, like I said, it's usually one of those little creepy crawly dudes that these people have summoned to give them the other person a hard time. Or it could be somebody that died and is like really pissed. You know, you ripped me off. You ruined my business.
How common is this? I mean, if you have 10 people that come to you saying they're having bad luck, I would imagine curses aren't that common. Or maybe they're more common than I realize. I don't know. I mean, is it something that's super common? Are you there? Oh, are you there, Sherry?
Yeah, I'm here.
It looks like her call was dropped.
Okay. She'll call back in. She must have. Let me get back to her. Okay.
I just wouldn't imagine it being super common. Maybe I'm ignorant. I wouldn't think there's a lot of dark practitioners out there just throwing curses on people. But who knows? I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting how the curses can come on and everything. It's like she said, it's an intent, you know. You know, whether it's what's the intent of that person and things like that. It's crazy, but yeah, I do believe in those kind of things myself, and you know, we try and stay out of the negative stuff if possible. But I gotta say, June is really good at that kind of stuff. She can tell if you are or not. So, did she call in yet?
No. Well, maybe the reason the call dropped is there's some sort of paranormal curse on the show. Because they're called.
Curse. She was talking, and all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah. Yeah, we're back. It's those
that's
creepy crawlies.
Like, yeah, they don't like to be talked about. They have a habit of doing all kinds of things. People is like, one time I was doing a show, when I was doing a radio program, and I was doing one out of England to my group over there, my international Ghosts and Girls International and group, and the first 15 minutes were us, and then the last 45 minutes were doors opening and closing, people talking. Steps, footsteps. It was like,
oh,
okay, I think we need to redo that.
So, June, is it just as simple as like an example, and hope, you know, literally cross our fingers and pray to God, you know, Jason or I don't have any curses on us or anything like that, but if it is it just simple for you just to remove it from somebody, or does you have to be physically there? Can you actually just remove it from
Okay. Most of the ones I've done from a distance. It's not
sure.
A big deal. It's like doing a demonic removal. You just do it from a distance, and
that's
it just
awesome.
Takes a couple minutes. But it's just like, really? they just like to, you know, people just like to mess with other people, and I don't understand it. You know, somebody's, you couldn't pay me enough money to stick a little creepy crawly on somebody. It's not cool. You don't do that.
Can't we all just get along? Can't we just be
love
and light? Why do we have to always be better than everyone else or have more money or power and all? People are kind of ridiculous.
You know? Yeah. And it's like Socrates said, you know, as long as there is man, he will never be satisfied with what he gets. He'll always be searching for more. So it's like, yeah, Socrates knew that even back then.
Have you ever run into a case that was like too much to handle, like maybe a full-blown possession or an entity that was more than you expected?
No, I haven't. I've been doing this 45 years. I think the most interesting case I had was I had to do an exorcism on a woman who had 11 entities. She was possessed by 11 different entities, and that was fun. It took me about 3 hours, but once it was over and everything was said and done, then I told her, I said, you need to get some counseling. She had this issue for like 20 years. I said, you need to find somebody to get some counseling for PTSD, because that's what you have. So she did get some counseling, so that was a good thing. That was the worst one, I think.
PTSD from the possession? Or?
Yeah, from the possession. It's like you're never the same. You know, even if you just have an attachment or, you know, you have a creepy crawly haunting your house, you're never going to be the same. You're always going to be gun-shy. It's one of the bad things about anything to do with negative entities. It just ruins you. It just traumatizes you. It's horrible. You know, people are never the same. They become hyper aware. They're always looking for the other shoe to drop. And that's no way to live your life. But these things don't care, because they, you know, they want you to remember them. Not that you're likely to forget anytime soon.
Can the average Joe?
Is there anything you can do to avoid that, June, for a person who doesn't understand? Is there any precautions or anything they can do?
Yeah, most people, you know, the best advice I can give, and it really works well, is if, say, you're doing an investigation, or you go to a party at a place, and you just feel uncomfortable, like there's something there that shouldn't be there, or that you have this sick feeling in the pit of your stomach, the best advice is to walk away and not go there. If you happen to see something negative, like a black mist or shadow person, or even if it's just out of the corner of your eye, you're better off not to acknowledge it, because to acknowledge it is to make it see you. It's kind of like in New York when at rush hour, when you're on the sidewalk and most people are going the same direction and, you know, you don't really notice because, you know, everybody's going the same direction, you're going with the flow, and then some idiot comes along and wants to go the opposite direction against the tide of people. Everybody's going to see that person because it's like, really? You know, you're doing this, we're all going this way and you're going the opposite way. It's like that. If you let it, if it sees you, then, you know, you're screwed because it may decide to, it not always, but it may decide that it wants to look at you to see if you'd make a good candidate for attachment. And they do that by, they're kind of like stalkers. They if they find an interesting candidate, they'll sit and they'll watch. They'll look for your weaknesses. They'll look for your strengths. They'll look to see if you are easily influenced. You know, if they don't, if you're not easily influenced or you're not interesting enough, they'll move on and find somebody else. But if you're easily influenced, if you have, like, you know, either mental, you know, family home problems, if you have strife in the home, if you have substance abuse, if you have mental illness, that all makes you a ripe candidate for them to attach themselves. And then, like I said, they wait and watch. And then they start out really slow by, you know, either moving things or you maybe hear a growl or, you know, things will start happening in your home. And that it just kind of like it kind of builds momentum.
So you don't want to be noticed. No, I imagine playing with a Ouija board, you know, in an old haunted house is probably a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea if I'm that we have the ghost conference this month at the end of the month, and I'm teaching a class on investigating negative entities. And one of the things is if it's a known place where, you know, people have reported seeing, you know, these negative entities or running afoul of them, the last thing you want to do is open a portal. Anytime you do an EVP, that opens a portal. Anytime you do a pendulum, scrying, Ouija board, any of that will open a portal. You know, before you start doing any of that, you should ask for God's blessing upon the communication and ask that nothing negative be allowed to harm you or your crew or whatever. And then once the communication is over, you have to make sure that you thank God for it and ask Him to close the door. Because if you go around and you use the Ouija board and you don't ask for protection and you don't bother to close it, then that leaves a door wide open. And it's like a candle in the darkness. It's going to attract, you know, the good and the bad, unfortunately. It's all about how you use it.
Pendulums too. Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, anything you would use for communication or divination opens a door. It opens a portal. So you have to make sure you close the door.
What about tarot cards?
Same thing.
Okay.
You're using them for divination. You're using them for communication. So they open a door. And so you have to close the door. When you finish the reading, you put the cards together and you say, I now close the door. Let it be, you know, to the other side. And that way you shut the door. Because if you don't and you just fold up the cards, put them away and move on, then it still leaves the doorway open.
I must have left a lot of doors open. I've messed with Ouija boards back when I was young, pendulums, and tarot cards.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever closing anything.
I know, right? It's like people just don't think about that because you think, oh, okay, you know, it's over. Okay, I'm moving on. You know, but it does. It really, you know, that's where you end up with, that's why it's so prevalent is there's all these doors that were left open. You know, someone may come along and close it, or it may close on its own, but 9 times out of 10, it won't close on its own. So you have to make sure you close it. And I find in a lot of the investigations I go into, somebody has opened a doorway at one time or another, and it just never got closed. So, you know, you have to push the entities back through the doorway and shut the door and lock it.
I probably left a lot of haunted locations in my wake over the years ago. I'm not closing doors. Oh.
Yeah, a lot of people do, you know. It's just the way it is, you know, because people don't think about that. They just, or they get excited in the moment, you know, and they're like, yeah, you know. Or that's why when people are investigating a place and they say, did you see that? That was a shadow person. Okay, there you are. You're acknowledging the negative entity. Bad thing to do. Bad. Because then it turns around and looks at you. And even if it just makes your life miserable for a day or two, it's done its job and it's happy.
Can we do something to close or to rid ourselves of these entities without having somebody such as yourself do it? I mean, can we like put salt on the windows or sage or something?
Well, you can, if it's an earthbound spirit, okay, say you picked up a hitchhiker somewhere as an earthbound spirit, and yeah, just saging, you know, asking for God's blessing and then saging and asking the entity to leave and to go into the light. A lot of times, 9 times out of 10, that'll help, and they'll be gone. They'll go home because they're just, a lot of times they're just looking for help. That's all it is. Now, if it's a negative entity, like demonic, then you have to, you know, prayer is very good, you know, invoking the name of whatever deity you believe in. And, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ or God or whatever, I command you to be gone. If it's just, you know, one of the little guys, it'll move on because it doesn't want to be bothered. But if it's, you know, like a lesser demon or an old demon, that's a whole other situation. You know, if they decided to leave, it's because you weren't worth their time and effort. But if they're really wanting to mess with you, no amount of that will help you. And if you say, if there's a true negative energy there and you sage, oh my God, that will ramp up the activity. It will get 10 times worse. Because they're like, oh, you're trying to get rid of me? I'll show you. And the activity just goes ballistic. The other thing to do is you can, a lot of people will use salt, you know, on the windows and above the doors and stuff like that. And the salt is not going to cut it if it's a true demonic. Anointing oil or holy water, you know, with the sign of the cross and asking for God's blessing. But you need to make sure that the entity is out of your house first. Otherwise, you end up sealing it in there. And that's never a good idea. You don't want it sealed in with you. So you need to make sure it's gone before you do that. But if you just want to protect your home, you know, just you don't have anything negative there and you don't want to get anything negative there, then get yourself some anointing oil. It's been blessed, or holy water, and put a sign of the cross above each and every door and window and say, in the name of Jesus Christ and God Almighty, I ask this holy water protect and keep anything negative from my home. So there are ways to protect yourself. I make a black salt that will a lot of people use as a warning because it's I make these necklaces and put the salt inside. And what it does, it heats up when you're in the presence of negativity. If you've got a negative entity there, it will heat up and get really hot because it's protecting. But other than those things and the power of prayer, you know, those are the only things if you wear a cross, you need to make sure that the cross has the engraved image of Jesus on it. Or if you're Jewish, the Star of David, that will do it, and make sure it's blessed.
So this thing that you make will act physically get hot in the presence of, like, evil? That's awesome.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's my friends in England. They're some of the first people I sent it to. I was like, because they do investigations. And I'm like, here, because they went into a place. Let's see, when I first started talking to, there was a place in England called The Cage. And it was a medieval women's prison. And I was in England the first time in 2017. And I got a message from a friend of mine that says, hey, give me a call. And I'm like, I can't. I'm in the UK. And she's like, wow, well, there's this woman in the UK who really needs help. You know, this is her name, and she owns a place called The Cage. There have been, you know, numerous pictures of demons taken there, and people have been transfigured into witches and things like that. You know, it's been going on for years and years. The woman kind of got to the point where she couldn't live there. She was living in one room with her little kids, and she finally had to move out of the place because it was so bad. It had been documented for years and years. So she says, well, contact her and see if you can help her. I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I don't know where it is, so I sent her a message on Facebook, and she says, usually I don't respond to these because nobody's been able to help me. And I told her, I said, well, just send me a picture of the place, and I'll see what I can do while I'm on the treadmill. So she sent me the picture, and I'm walking on the treadmill, and I'm looking at the picture, and I'm like, oh, okay. So there were three demons there. And so I removed the demons, and I did a cleansing on the home. And I told the woman, I said, listen, you know, it's been taken care of. She says, well, I have this American medium coming in, and he doesn't want anything to do with anything negative. He doesn't do negatives. His name is Chris Fleming, and he wants to go through the house. I told her, I said, tell him that it's fine now, it's cleared out, there's nothing left that's negative, that he can go in without any problems. And the guy, you know, Chris came in the next morning, went through the house, and he told her, you know, there's nothing left here, there's nothing negative. I'm like, yeah, I do good work, come on. he's like, he couldn't believe it. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, it's all about doing God's work, and, you know, he tells you to do it, you do it. And so it's been sold since, and it's no longer demoned up. I had to remove a couple since after that because the woman that owned it was letting people in there using Ouija boards and doing seances, and you don't be doing that in there because this house is in is St. Osis. And it's an old, old house on, you know, the coast. So, you know, you got the salt water. there's a lot of portals there, a lot of them. I could spend years in closing the portals that are there. There's so many of them. And there were three of them, like, right behind the house. It's like, really? So you just don't want to do things like that. But these people came in and did it. And she contacted me and said, can you do it? I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. So you need to keep people out of there that are doing things like that.
So how can you tell that there's portals there? Is it something that you sense or you can see physically?
Yeah, I can actually see them physically, or if I'm from a distance. I actually went there and to St. Gnosis in 2018 when she was having more problems. I went with some friends, and I'm like, really? You know, there's three portals right behind the house. So I closed all of those. But they're everywhere. You know, we did a walk around the neighborhood, and they're everywhere. But you can see them. A lot of people can sense them because it's like a change in the harmonics, a change in the vibrations. You can sense them. I can visually see them, and the darker ones are easy for me to spot. There's the dark portals, and then there's the regular white light portals. The dark ones are the ones I enjoy closing. That way they don't get any more into this world.
What are the white light ones?
the white light portals are the ones for people to cross over. They will be drawn to them. They are a white light portal, so they, you know, somebody dies, they're drawn to that portal, and it's like a doorway to the other side, to the light, to heaven. They use it to come and go, you know, to visit people and to leave from the physical world, you know, when they die. So those ones need to be left alone because, you know, they souls use them all the time.
I'm sorry, Sherry, you were going to say something?
Yes. I was going to ask June, when you take care of these dark things, is it usually you can do it in one sweep or sometimes depending on the cases that you have to go and repeatedly follow up, you know, 2-3 times or months sometimes in order to resolve the problem after the initial contact with you?
No, it's usually one time and they close. When I close them, they can't be reopened again. I had a case that I went out on like a year ago. It's a place out towards Tualatin, out past Tualatin, and a little place.
Mm-hmm.
You throw a rock and you'll go from one side of the town to the other. And they had a farm. This couple had a farm that they had bought. And they were having all kinds of paranormal activities. Between the two of them, they had, you know, 7 children, and one of them was an autistic 9-year-old that continually screamed from the moment it hit the property line to the moment he left. And he was just not his normal self, and things started happening. Things started breaking. Things started, you know, people being attacked. And that's when they got a hold of me, and I went out and did the removal. But I noticed that across the street from their property, there's another property that had demonics on it. I could see them, and I warned them, stay away from this property. I said, otherwise, you're mine. And so everything was quiet for a year. And then about a month and a half ago, they called me and said, you know, something's happening across the way, and it's kind of, you know, there's things that are going on. So I looked into it, and what I found was the demons across the way were sending earthbound spirits into the home and causing problems. Because they can't get in, I had them lay down black salt because they couldn't get in. The black salt will not stop a human spirit. So these things would send earthbound negatives in to cause trouble over on the farm. So I had to go back out and I had to remove them from the property over there. I told them, I said, I gave you a warning. You didn't listen. You know, you're screwed. And so I had to remove the ones that were across the street on that property that had taken over that property. But they haven't had any problems since.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah, it's just, I had a guy contact me and say, you know, I have this negative attached to me. You know, and it's like it's a demon attachment. It's attacking me. It's attacking my family. You know, can you help me? And I'm like, okay, well, you obviously got it when you were doing something to do with an investigation. And I'm thinking to myself, why did you even try to do a removal? You know, and then I told him, I said, did you try to remove... do an exorcism on a girl? And he's like, yeah, and it attached itself to me. And I'm thinking to myself, why did you even think that you could remove this thing? It's like, hello? What were you thinking? And so it's like, I said, okay, I'll remove it. I said, but you cannot, absolutely cannot go back out and try to do anything like that again. I said, you do not have the ability to remove these things. All the entity did was simply move from her to you because, you know, you're a better candidate. I said, you need to not do that. And don't go do any investigations in the near future where you're having to deal with negatives. Because once you've been touched by them, they got your number. And what does he do a couple months later? He goes out and does another investigation. I'm like, really? Really? You know, I'm not going to spend my lifetime removing these demons from you. You need to stop doing that stuff.
Did he get attached again when he went back out?
Yeah. Yes, of course he did. They know your number. Once they know your name, that's it. Once one of them knows it, they all know it.
I hope nobody knows my name.
Nah. Nah, they're like, no, we don't want to mess with him. He's no fun.
There you go. Thank God.
Yeah, yeah. I can handle that. I know where you're coming from on that one. I don't usually have problems with. That's why I don't have to worry about my family and immediate family and people that were within my circle because they have protection. You know, anybody outside of that, I can't answer to. But like I said, I'm always there to help. And my only price for removing a demon is to have the person, you know, I'll remove the demon. I tell people, you know, do something good for somebody. That's the cost. You see somebody who needs help, help them. That's the price I ask. Because you just pay it forward.
And there should be more of that out there. I think we tend to forget that, doing those things for people.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, because a lot of people, the first thing they ask is how much. And I'm like, how about zero? How about you do a good deed for somebody else who needs it? That'll be payment.
So, Jim, why is it that it's such so rampant? I know that you are so busy. I mean, you know, from your job, being a nurse, and hopefully I don't know if you're going to be retiring pretty soon or anything, but I got a feeling your calling is going to be more in servicing people in this avenue because you're just, you know, there's such a high demand and you're really good at it. But why is it there's such a big rampant increase in the work you do, you know, in helping people like this?
That's a good question. And the part of the answer is, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. You know, the Vatican never, you have to go through jump through so many hoops before you can get help from the Catholic Church when it comes to an exorcism or something like that. But in January 25th, 2018, Newsweek reported that the Vatican had reported that they were increasing and stepping up the training on exorcists as the possession cases have become significantly increased. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I said that in 2013. What's up? And it took you 5 years to figure that out? But it's prevalent because, now more than ever, people are interested in the paranormal. And I'm not saying that that's the root cause, but people are more aware. People are more likely to say, well, wait a minute. You know, if this is happening and that's happening, then maybe I've got something here. And people are more aware. Although a lot of people think that, you know, demonic stuff is rare, and that it's a rarity. And I wish I could say, yeah, it's a rarity, but it's not. It's on the increase. You know, people doing EVPs, you know, things like that. You're doing investigations. You know, there's more awareness of the other side. And with that awareness, you know, you have to take the good with the bad. There is, you know, you're aware of them. That makes them aware of you. And things are starting to ramp up. It comes in waves. Right now, it's on an increase. You know, you have times when it's really quiet, which I'm grateful for. And usually it lasts for a month, maybe 6 weeks. And then I'm right back to square one, and people are needing help. You know, I get it from all directions, not just from the United States, but I get it from, you know, like New Zealand, the Netherlands, Australia. You know, people just saying, you know, help, I need help. And I try to get to them as soon as I can, but between trying to finish this book and working full time, and, you know, it's never ending. It's just there's an increase because the awareness has increased. You know, 40 years ago, if you had a haunting in your house, they would say, oh, well, that's a family ghost. Don't worry about it. Move on. But not anymore. Now they're saying, oh, what is it? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it grandma? And is it grandpa? You know, that type of thing. So it's really become, it's all really about awareness, although they don't seem to have as much awareness of the negatives as they should have.
That makes sense to me. I mean, I think you're right. The paranormal's exploded. If you look at the movies, the TV shows, and all that stuff,
yeah.
And the internet, and all the substance abuse and everything.
YouTube,
I would be surprised if it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, a man just like, if you notice that man's really moving away from religion per se, and but they should be moving towards spirituality rather than towards technology. But that's not happening. You know, religion is a man-made product. It's our way of trying to put a square peg in a round hole. And if you just, you know, if you're spiritual, it's all about there's a greater consciousness there, and we are a part of the whole. I know when I died in my motorcycle accident in 1988, and it's like, you could feel when I crossed into the white light, you could feel that there was, you were a part of a big, greater consciousness, and there was a lot of love, acceptance, warmth, compassion, and you felt like you were never alone. You were, you had your own individuality, but yet you were a part of that greater consciousness.
Well, I see that we're kind of at the top of the hour. Did you want to go a few minutes longer, or?
Yeah, if you have
any
questions.
But, go another 10 minutes or so.
Okay. Yeah, it's really, the kind of work you do is truly of service. It's amazing how there's so many people that really need you. And I was going to ask you, June, why? How would it dictate for you to actually go on a location? What would be, do you sense that, okay, I can't do this over remotely, this has to be done in person? Do you? Is there some cases where that has to be done like that?
Well, what happens is if I get a case, a local case, I like to go, you know, to the location because, you know, and if I feel that the people need you know, need help, like, more than just the removal. Okay, I do the removal. But they need to understand. I need to talk to them. They need to understand why this happened, how this happened. The whole nine yards. I try to like to do that.
I think I messed up, sorry, I don't want to interrupt. I usually schedule these for 90 minutes, but the dashboard is telling me we have, like, 60 seconds left. I apologize.
That's okay.
Hey, June, so how can people get a hold of you?
They can go to my website, demonseer.com, and they can contact me through that, or I'm on Facebook. That's also Demon Seer, or it can be June Lundgren. You can find me either one. Send me a message. My books are available on Amazon.com in print or in ebook format.
Oh, June, it's always a pleasure. We'll have to get you back on because there's always so much to talk about. I find it fascinating. I want to thank you for coming on again.
Thanks for having me, guys. I enjoyed my time.
It really goes by really fast, too.
Yeah, and I'll see you, Sherry, at the Ghost Conference, I'm sure.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yes, for kind of hang out a little bit, you know, in between. So, yeah, we're going to be busy, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, it's March. It's March 27th, 28th, and 29th at Seaside, Oregon.
Yep.
We got like 5 seconds.
All right.
I want to thank everybody for listening. See everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. Thanks again, June.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
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 Yeah, we're off.